Okay, it is ridiculously late at night, and I should be asleep, and I will go to sleep, but I am having feelings about Boba Fett, and I need to put them out into the universe because feelings. Okay, so I was listening to Podfix, as you do, and random line from a random fic sparked this idea that, okay, what if instead of Boba going with Jango to Geonosis for the first battle of Geonosis, he stayed on Kamino? And how that would have changed his path? And can you just imagine little Boba Fett growing up, like, growing up more, because he's already 10, but he's 10, which makes him as old as the oldest of the clones. Like, his brothers are going off and fighting on Kamino, and he's always been separated that from them. With Jango around, he was the special clone. He was Jango's son. He was Boba Fett rather than just CT whatever, whatever. But then, if Jango dies on Geonosis and Boba doesn't have the intense trauma of being right there to see it and holding his father's helmet slash head in his hands and swearing an oath of vengeance on Mace Windu, it's just, I'm sorry, your father was killed in action. His job is very dangerous, and nobody knows who did it because, let's face it, Mace Windu is not quite that stupid. He's not gonna go off and tell a Mandalorian, "Hey, I killed your dad." So, no, it's just, look, hundreds of people died in this gigantic battle on Geonosis. Unfortunately, Jango Fett was one of them, so we don't know who did it or how or whatever. But I guess, Boba, you're staying here on Kamino now, and we're trying to figure out what to do with you. And technically, Boba has inherited all of Jango's stuff, right? So he owns Slave One. He owns his father's armor. He owns all of the equipment and everything he's inherited. He is a full Republic citizen, at least as much as his father was. I have no idea if Jango Fett was a Republic citizen or a Mandalorian citizen or both or whatever, but Boba is definitely a full citizen, whereas the clones, their citizenship is questionable at best. So, on the one hand, he's running around Kamino being a 10-year-old kid, like, he's still underage, so he can't just fly away. And maybe he tries at one point, but like, I kind of want, okay. So what if, like, after Geonosis, the next round of clones get sent out to, like, Coruscant and all of the other places where the Jedi are setting up their bases and things that they want to protect and all of the, getting the war up and going. And Boba's like, I own a ship. I'm just gonna go out and fight in the war too. And the minute he gets to the battlefield, his brothers, the clones, the alphas specifically, are like, no, you may be the same age as us, but we're sending you home. And there's this gigantic argument about how, like, they are the same age and how he is still a child, but they are adults. And the Jedi are just like, no, because we're not gonna send children into battle. This is still early days of the war. They haven't gotten to the whole, like, we're sending Padawans into the field yet. And even though Boba has all the training as the other clones, he also maybe doesn't have all the training from the other clones because he was trained more personally by Jango. And so he's got different training. He's got more specialized training, and he's definitely as skilled as everybody else, but he doesn't have the, like, enhancements that would give him super fast, like, learning capabilities and muscle enhancement memory stuff. And so while he's gone through a lot of the same training as the other clones, the fact that he's not physically an adult, and the fact that, like, so eventually he gets sent back to Kamino, and he does go back to Kamino, and then you have little Boba Fett on Kamino, like, hanging out with all of the clones who are going into the next batches. Like, and, like, okay, so Fives and Echo and all of Domino Squad and all of the clones of that era, the ones that they're not the first batches, they're not the first ones to go out, but they're the next round to go out, and the one after that, not quite Speedies yet, but all the clones who weren't ready at the start of the war, but are going out before the end of the first year. He gets to know them, because the Kaminoans have no idea what to do with him, except, hey, you're another clone, you're not going to get sent out to combat, but you need to be, you have time on your hands, you need things to occupy that time in the meantime, so here, go spend time in this class, here, go train with these weapons, here, go learn how to pilot this ship. And he is consistently the best at everything, because he is A, Boba fucking Fett. B, he's already done this a whole bunch of times. And the clones that are coming in that are his, like, age mates, physically, like, if he's, okay, he is slightly over 10 years old now. And other clones coming in and they look 10 years old, they're only, like, what, 5, 4 years, 3 years old? I can't remember how old the clones are aging, but they're only a few years old, and they're going through all of this hyper-fast training, and they live in the barracks, and probably Boba wouldn't live in the barracks. He probably still lives in Jango's quarters, because Jango had his own quarters, and the Kaminoans wouldn't change that because Boba isn't actually part of a squad. So Boba is learning with all these different clones, but then he's also separate from them, and he's teaching them what he knows because he's so much more experienced than his other age mates. And he learns how to be a part of this squad. Like, he keeps exceeding expectations, and they have to move him up to the advanced classes. So as he goes, all the other people, the other clones, are, like, kind of getting past him, but they're getting pushed forward because that's their regular learning, like, routine. They're scheduled to learn this. And the Kaminoans want to keep Boba back because he looks a certain age, and he's like, no, I may not learn technically as fast as these other clones, but I have the experience to move on to the next class. And so it's like, eventually it'll get to a point where he's this little cadet who's like 10 and a half, or maybe he's 11 now, and the other clones are fully aged adults physically and mentally and emotionally and skill level, they're the same. And, like, every clone then who went through Kamino's training would know of Boba Fett, not just as this rumor that he was Jango's son, but have this personal connection to him because he was there when they were training, and he helped them out, and he taught them about Jango Fett, and they taught him, like, here's how you work with the team. And there are, like, I want to get into more Mandalorian stuff too, because then you get the Mandalorian, like, clan bond that actually forms, and so Boba would have a way stronger Mandalorian vibe, not just like, okay, I was born a Mandalorian and I wear armor and I follow the code, But, like, Boba from canon, we'd never know if he actually sets foot on Mandalore. And it's, like, he would never try to be the Mandalore. That's never something that would, at least, as far as I know, there's a lot of extra stuff that I haven't read or, you know, watched or whatever, but all of that extra, like, so his Mandalorian roots would be a lot stronger, and he would, like, perceive of himself as being another of the clones, as being part of that clan. And then he would get to know the Jedi too, because especially Shaak Ti, I perceive that she would definitely take an interest in him, because at some point, Boba, he's not quite like one of the other bounty hunter trainers that they have teaching the other clones, but he kind of is fulfilling that role, because all the other clones, if they have a problem or if they have a cultural question or if they have a whatever, they're going to be more comfortable going to Boba than going to one of these extra bounty hunters, and especially than going to the Jedi. Like, it's one thing if they have a Jedi, if they have a question about Jedi that is very much like, in this situation, how to treat a Jedi, and can a Jedi, like, you know, a question by rote that they could go and ask Shaak Ti. But if it's one thing, but that's, anyway. So they're gonna have this much closer connection with Boba, and Shaak Ti would notice that, of course. And, like, I almost think that it's not a master Padawan bond, because of course Boba is force sensitive like that, but I think she would take him under her wing a bit and be a little bit of a guide to him. That's how she would perceive of him, like, oh, this is a youngling who is very skilled, who is learning. He may not have force sensitivity, but he needs to be guided. He needs to be, like, treated with respect, but also, like, given the opportunity to grow. And so she would probably take him under her wing, and, like, now I'm just picturing all of these, like, training simulations where the best of the best are chosen to, like, okay, we're gonna put you in a simulated battle with a Jedi, and Shaak Ti is going to be your Jedi. And then they, like, run through the simulation, and Shaak Ti is like, okay, that was good, now let's run through a Jedi and Padawan situation. And they're like, there is no Padawan currently on Kamino. And she's like, Boba, get down here. You're gonna be my Padawan in this simulation. And he's like, And she's like, here, training saber. No, you cannot use your blasters. No, you cannot. Okay, you can use your jetpack in this simulation, but you cannot go above this height because you're simulating force jumps. And he's just like, how can I do this? And so, like, the cross between the Mandalorian fighting style of, I'm going to use all these tricks because this fighting style was designed to fight Jedi, and then learning from Shaak Ti, because can you imagine Shaak Ti training him in saber fighting? Like, by the end, like, eventually he's going to get out into the war, because there is no way they could keep him on Kamino the whole war. That just, like, couldn't happen. But then things like, if Fives was going, like, if when Fives discovers the chips and comes back to Kamino, there's someone he can trust there. Not only is Shaak Ti, obviously he can trust Shaak Ti, sort of, he wants to trust Shaak Ti, but he can trust Boba Fett. And if Boba is still there, then he is absolutely going to tell Boba, and Boba is going to straight up confront Shaak Ti about, like, No, my brother found this in our heads. The scans say there are ones in fives. The scans say there are ones all over the place. What, like, and he's gonna go and confront her, and then, like, so that would change. But if Boba is still there, because by that point, like, he could very well stay on Kamino through several years of the war, because by that point he has attached himself to Shaak-Ti, or Shaak-Ti has, like, dragged him in. But at the same time, all of his brothers are going out to fight. You really think he's gonna stand by when he's seen wave after wave of brothers train and then graduate and then go off and then die? And more and more people, more and more brothers are being born and trained just to go out and die. And he is slowly, slowly growing into himself, and he can't go with them. That would be so much heartbreak. That, like, so many feels. So many feels. So many feels. Oh. And then, like, my brain is spinning for all the possibilities, because this Boba Fett could be Mandalore. He could step up and take up the Darksaber. And because this Boba actually has full-on saber training. He, like, okay, in one of the episodes where Ventress attacks and gets into Kamino and tries to steal Boba Fett or Jango Fett's DNA and all of that, Boba Fett, little kid, 10, 11-year-old Boba Fett, going up against Ventress with a training saber because Shaak-Ti hasn't gotten there yet, and by God, he is going to protect everyone. I want this so much. And eventually he does get to Mandalore, and he does, like, after the war, he has to survive, of course. He has to survive the war. And I don't know, like, even if Order 66 happens and all the stuff, then, like, he has very different emotional connections to both his brothers and to the Jedi, and he wouldn't just go out and be a bounty hunter. And I have so many feelings right now. I need this. Somebody, I need, oh, so many feelings.
Okay, I love everything about this. I wrote notes. Apparently, though, when you write notes in the middle of the night, in the dark, on your phone, while being semi-only awake, they don't save properly. So I will try to recap, because I do not have my notes anymore. One of the things that just kept, like, echoing through my head over and over is if Boba has been instated on Kamino, the parallels between Boba and 99 when seen through the eyes of all the other clones. So your average clone rate is approximately double. So they've got the physical age of 8 when they're... Hang on, no. Yeah, they've got the physical age of like 20 when they're 10. Physical age of 8 when they're 4. Like, they go upwards, right? Except for 99, who ages ultra fast and stays old. And except for Boba, who looks like Peter Pan to them. Because they're growing up and they're becoming adults, and there's this perpetual 5-year-old running around to them, it looks like. Which I just think, and then like Boba and 99 maybe being some kind of friend/you're the only person who's like sort of on the outside of the general experience of what's happening here. And bonding, or possibly bonding with the Bad Batch, same kind of thing. Clone Force 99. Basically, one of the things that you had mentioned about, like, Boba being a citizen, I like the idea, like, okay, so I don't know if it's, like, ever actually established, but definitely my headcanon is, like, Jango Fett does not consider the clones people. He considers Boba people, but he does not consider the rest of the clones people, because if they were people, he would be responsible for them. And if they are product, he is not. And I feel like that rubs off on baby Boba when he's growing up with his dad. And his dad's like, you're a real person, and I'm taking precautions to make sure that you are treated like a real person, but everybody else out there that has my face is product and is essentially a commodity. And the only way he could get, he could, like, you know, like, the only way you can deal with having essentially led to the creation of so many people who are going to die is to not think of them as people in the first place. And that ties in with sort of the canonical view of the clones that Boba has. But if he doesn't finish his growing up, like, the way he did in canon, if he finishes his growing up in his next couple formative years in the barracks with the clones, it becomes like his view of them changes, and like sort of the slow shift from you've got my dad's face but you're not my dad and everyone says you're not people to, oh shit, I guess you are people, and also brotherhood and that sort of weird, I feel like, mix between brotherhood and also looking for sort of fatherly, paternal comfort from some of the older clones because they've got his dad's face. Like, that slow evolution of how he comes to see them as brothers, I think, would be really fun to play around with. Also, I think the Kaminoans, like, whatever precautions Jango Fett set in place for his son, like, the Kaminoans don't necessarily have to honor it, because in the eyes of the Republic, this is a minor who has no standing. And, like, in the eyes of the Mandalorian Empire, it's a little bit iffier, but he's not in the Mandalorian Empire, and they have no say when the Mandalorian Empire doesn't know he exists, right? It's really about the Kaminoans and whether or not they see him as a person and whether or not they see him as, like, slightly malfunctioning product. Okay, you were talking about Boba sort of trying to find his way to the war front, and I think this would be a hilarious bit of paperwork mix-up, but it shows that his decanting date was 10 years ago standard, so obviously he was supposed to have been shipped off to the front. Whether or not he happens to look like an adult, that's not important. What's important is the date he was stamp attached. so maybe that's part of how he encourages the paperwork mix-up. The records keeping mix up in order to get sent off. Because when Jango Fett died, the Slave One was on Geonosis. And I feel like he would have booby trapped that shit out the airlock. He would have booby trapped that ship. So Dooku couldn't take it as an escape ship to leave. And I don't think any of the clones would have taken it because, oh, and this is the other thing that I kind of want to tie into it, that there's some, either some junk DNA or some particular, almost like a, here's my watermark on your DNA that the Kaminoans put in to indicate that they are clones and not natural born humans. Because Jango Fett, I feel like, would be paranoid enough that he wouldn't want thousands of near identical looking beings able to potentially steal his ship. So he would have probably genetically locked it in some way. That means the clones would be unable to open the ship and pilot it because they're not quite exact match. Whereas Boba is a single unaltered clone, including possibly Jango Fett's, you know, genetic predisposition towards high cholesterol or something, but minus the watermark on their on the DNA. So somehow Boba has to get from Kamino to Geonosis in order to get the Slave One. And I feel like maybe he encourages this records-keeping snafu in order to get access to a ship, possibly access to a battlecruiser or something like that, in order to get him closer to Geonosis and get his father's ship. In this universe, here's what I think happened. The Kaminoans don't tell him shit, because in their eyes, he is kind of the control group and kind of a malfunctioning piece of product. And any importance as a natural born being that would have led them to pay more attention to him was lost when Jango was lost. So Boba doesn't find out from any of the Kaminoans that his father's dead. He finds out from one of the first batches of clones who were on the ground at Geonosis. One of the survivors, possibly, I don't even remember which units were sent to Geonosis, but maybe when, and now I'm getting my timeline mixed up, I forget who came back after Geonosis, if it was Kenobi again, or if it was Yoda, but somebody and their unit comes back to Kamino to basically be like, hey, here are the holes in my roster now, because I've got one in 10 clone troopers still alive. Fill up the holes, right? And it's one of the clones who managed to survive Geonosis who grabbed Jango Fett's bucket and brought it back. It's one of the clones who brought back his helmet and brought back his armor and tells Boba. Because Boba sees that there's a hubbub going on, and that even more clones than usual are getting marched out and sent out, because you can't hide that kind of personnel movement in a place that's essentially, you know, a perpetual barracks. You can't hide that. So he notices something's going on, and then after the battle, a clone comes and gives him his father's armor and says, sorry, kid, we didn't see who it was or how it happened, but think this is yours. And maybe Boba notices that there is a particular type of singe mark or staining around the seal of his father's helmet. But he's not familiar enough yet with a lightsaber. He's never seen a lightsaber up from close to know what kind of mark it is. Maybe he's got a supposition, he's got a theory, but he doesn't have first-hand experience with that. So it kind of gets like there's like a deep-seated, slow burning flame of who killed my father, but it's not nearly as overwhelming. I think the other thing you mentioned, like, so we know, I forget the name of them, the group. In Legends canon, there's several other Mandalorians that, like the bounty hunter type people that Boba Fett, or rather that Jango, had sort of recruited to help train the clones on Kamino, and Boba would have known them from being around on and off for the last 10 years. I kind of want one of them to come looking for him. Maybe it's Fett Rao, maybe it's Fenn Sheesa. You know what, I want it to be Fenn Sheesa because, you know, he really liked it when Leia pushed him up a tree. And, you know, that kind of thing. We'll bring it back around to Princess Leia eventually. One of them eventually hears that Jango Fett is dead and comes looking for Boba. And the Kaminoans, I think, don't let him take Boba. Because they've gotten used to using him as a control against what the other clones are growing like. And what the, so somebody does come to claim him. And the Kaminoans don't let them. So then Boba, like without knowing about it, sort of ends up clinging to the only steadfast he's got, which is the other clones around him. And then Shaak-Ti shows up, which you talked about. And I like the idea that maybe he first starts trying to, like, con his way into getting to know her because he wants to get a hand on her lightsabers and see if they make that same kind of cinch. But in trying to con her into liking him, he actually gets to know her and starts to like her in return. And then there are, in fact, the tiny weapons-bladed shenanigans. I swear, I absolutely did think, what if Sabine gave the darksaber to Boba? Because, like, there is a point sometime in Legends where he ends up... Like, he ends up in Carbonite accidentally, and then he skips a generation, and then Aelin Vell's daughter wakes him up, and there's a plague, and also possibly he's the Mandalorian. I'm mixing up my canons and my timelines, but I'm pretty sure there's some time in his future where he does become the Mandalorian. The Mandalore. I like the idea, too, that because... this exposure to the clones in their natural habitat, so to speak. Like, I do think Jango kept Boba isolated from the clones, and he might have had some training in, like, you know, weapons craft and personal safety and bounty hunting and how to be a sneaky SOB, but... if Jango doesn't think of the clones as people, he's not going to put his son in, like, the, you know, the high-energy learning environment with the computers and the... you know what I mean? That montage scene where Obi-Wan shows up on Kamino and you see, like, thousands of clones with the headgear on as they, like, speed learn years worth of information in 20 minutes. He wouldn't let Boba do that because he asked for an unaltered clone. He wants a child to raise who will grow up as a child. He doesn't want a second soldier son. So I feel like Boba's going to have advancements in some skills that maybe the Kaminoans don't consider worth teaching the rest of the clones. And the clones will be more advanced in certain skills that are artificially, basically, artificially implanted in their brains. So there's going to be a fun kind of rivalry in these classes as Boba sort of readjusts his worldview of who these people are and why they're important. Also, the fact that he is an unaltered clone in all ways, I think, means he doesn't have a brain chip. Which means that when Fives shows up, they'll have someone's brain scans to compare his to see what the extent of the programming is and how deep the rot goes. I'm not sure what Shaak-Ti would end up doing about it, because I think at that point there's just, it's not like, I'm in, and then you type in 3 override codes, and then I've fried the circuits. It's not like that. There's not a software patch for it. So I'm not sure how she'd handle it, but I like where you're going with that, so that's where I'm going to leave it. And that's a think about where I remember my notes ending. Oh, the other thing I remembered was that possibly Dooku stole some of Jango Fett's either armor or weaponry, and that puts him on Baby Boba's radar as, "You were the last person to see my father. He was working for you. I know because I found some of his records in our apartment. You have a lead." So instead of chasing Mace Windu, he chases Count Dooku across the galaxy. And then there's probably a hilarious scene where he, like, Dooku is doing, like, dramatic cape nonsense, and Boba is, like, frothing at the bit like a tiny Edward Elric, ready to slam him in the face. But he only reaches, like, Dooku's, you know, knees. And it's hilarious.
Yay! More ideas! More Boba feelings! Okay, so I have lots of notes after your response, and they are all out of order, so I'm going to bounce around a ton here. But, so... The clone who brought the helmet back, because that's relatively early in this timeline, let's start there. The clone who brings Jango's helmet back to Kamino, like, he has no reason to do that apart from clan ties and stuff like that. Like, maybe he's got slightly more interested in the Mandalorian thing, or maybe he was one of those few clones who Jango actually taught personally. Because at that point, Boba has been so isolated from all of his brothers. I like that idea, by the way, that that Jango kept Boba very separate from the rest of the clones. So at that point, Boba does not have a relationship with any of his brothers. And so this one random clone who is like doing battlefield cleanup and trying to check for survivors and stuff comes over, finds the helmet, and that could be a whole story in itself, that this one clone is battered, scars on the armor, and, like, maybe there's blood on his armor, his armor is completely wrecked, and he finds Jango's helmet, and he keeps it, and he tries to hide it, and, like, the rest of his squad would find it at some point. Like, there's only so... They don't have personal space. They don't have place that you can hide something that is the size of a helmet. You can't just shove that under your pillow. So the rest of his squad find it, and there's going to be a mix of reactions there, because some of them are going to be like, "Meh, I do not care. Just don't get me in trouble." And others are going to be like, "No, that's against regs. Throw it away, or at least, like, go give it to the Jedi, or go give it to your superior officer," or something like that. That's not kosher. And then there are going to be others who try to help, because they're all like, "Oh, okay, I wouldn't have thought of doing that, but you're my brother, so I'm gonna help you out." Or, "Oh, Mandalorian customs, and, oh yeah, I heard that Jango had an unaltered clone son, sure, we can try to give that back to him," and, you know, each depending on their personality. And this one particular clone trying to get the helmet, and at first, he wouldn't know that he's going back to Kamino. It's just, "Hey, I'm going to try to get this back to Kamino somehow for Boba, but who do I trust? Do I hand it off to one of my brothers? Do I hand it off to a superior officer? Because they would have more access to put it on a ship to get it back to Kamino." But there's also that personal connection of, "I want to do this myself." And then finding out that, like, they are going back to Kamino, and so he's trying to, again, still keep it secret, but at this point, a lot of people know, but the Jedi don't, so he's trying to keep it secret from either Yoda or Obi-Wan or whoever it is that's in charge of their squad now. And then finally getting back to Kamino and having to go find Boba and then running into Boba randomly because, like you said, there's some random commotion because the rest of his squad are like, God, you're still carrying that thing around. And or, oh, yeah, don't show that to the Jedi. And we'll cover for you. And, you know, all of that. And then finally getting to Boba and giving Boba the helmet. And, like, okay, I want to say this is the first time that Boba sees one of the clones as a person, as human, as a brother. And it's because the armor is all scratched up. He doesn't just, like, if he had... Maybe the clone even still has his helmet on. He doesn't even take his helmet off. But his armor is all scratched up, and that makes him look more like the other Mandalorians that Boba has interacted with. And he can tell that he's a clone, because it is clone standard issue armor, but then he's, like, bending down, getting down on one knee to be on Boba's level and handing him the helmet and being very sincere. And Boba has been taught that these people aren't people, but then there's this one who's delivering this absolutely terrible, terrible news, but being very kind about it and doing it in a way that is very, like, culturally recognizable to him. And so, yeah, the first time he sees his brother, one of his brothers, as actually human, and it kind of changes things, but it's not like it doesn't make things easier. It's not a flipping of a switch, because it is, hey, your dad is dead. Nobody bothered to tell you. And of course, this clone would be like, I'm sorry. Oh, God, it would probably be a terrible conversation, because the clone would assume that Boba already knew. And so it's like stuttering, and here I brought you your dad's helmet. And that's when he finds out that Jango is dead, and it just like, oh yeah, that's a moment. That's a terrible, wonderful, full of feels moment. Oh yes. What else? Okay. So, Lamassu and the other Mandalorian coming back and trying to take custody of Boba. I figure that'll take a little bit, couple of months maybe, but, like, not more than 2 months. So, by that point, Boba has kind of been, drifting. Like, nobody knows quite what to do with him, and they've been, like you said, using Boba as a control group, but also kind of shuffling him around because he's not part of a squad. Everybody is getting shuffled around, to be fair, but it's with the other clones, they're all getting assigned to Jedi and being sent out. And so there's a whole lot of shuffling going on in general, and Boba feels very, like, Boba is getting shuffled around without purpose. It's just, oh, go over here, go over there, go over here. Like, I don't have time for you. And so a part of it is that he gets shuffled around back to people who look his age, clones who look his age. And part of it is, like, all of that. But then this other Mandalorian, can't remember what name you pulled out of a hat there. I don't know them. Recommend some books for me sometime. I will go read them. I've been looking. Anyway. And Lamassu not wanting to let Boba go. Because at that point, there's no personal connection there. But Lamassu definitely wouldn't want to let Boba go because, like, on the one hand, this is a product that, like, you're not going to hand somebody a thing for free. But then also, Boba does have the the genetic template and the, like, the fact that he's an unaltered clone does make him a good control group. And I think it ties back to the chips really early on. It's like a hint of the chips early on that Lamassu doesn't want their proprietary technology to get out and all of that. Because Boba doesn't have a chip, but it would be super, super easy to compare Boba to any other clone and realize, hey, what's this thing in their brain? And so all of the other, like, modifications, and it's not like it would be hard to get a hold of a clone, to be fair. Either, hey, go off onto a battlefield and find a dead brother who didn't get buried properly, or go and to the go to Coruscant, go to the Senate and say, hey, we need to requisition a squad for X, Y, and Z, and then put them through a medical exam. It wouldn't be that hard to get a hold of, like, the basic clone information. So instead, they hide Boba, and so there's nothing to compare the other clones to. And yeah, so that's the initial reason that they don't let Boba go. But then I want to say that there's something like, you can turn the Mandalorians away, but then maybe that happens at the same time that Boba has screwed up the paperwork. And I want to say, A, yes, he absolutely messed with the paperwork on purpose. And B, that's just brilliant. Like, I love it. I love it. So if it took them a couple of months to get around to, like, hey, what happened to Boba after Jango died? And come and look for him. And at the same time, Boba has spent those couple of months trying to, like, finagle the paperwork because he's on a mission to get his father's ship, to get, like, he's getting tired of getting shuffled around. This isn't where he belongs. He is very angry. He has no one to support him. So he has spent these 2 months messing with paperwork and trying to get off Kamino, and it happens to coincide. So Boba leaves, goes to get Slave One, has a bunch of hijinks where people, like, I want to say he even gives himself a rank. He's not just a regular clone trooper. He's like, well, he's one of the Alpha Batch, of course. He is one of the first clones that was decanted, sort of. So he gets, like, a special rank because of it, and nobody knows what to do with him, and everybody's running around, because all of the clones are running around trying to figure out, like, who is stationed where. So he slips through the cracks there, and misses, like, he had this chance that if he had been on planet, he might have been able to, like, Lamassu did not want to give Boba up, but if Boba snuck away and, like, happened to see these other Mandalorians and went with them, then there's not much she could do about it, because, like, she can force them to, like, once they're in Mandalorian space, they're in Mandalorian space. But because he was off-planet, he didn't even know they came for him. And it was, you know, another of those, like, kind of missed opportunities. And then I like the traps and triggers on Slave One, too. And I think that, so Boba does end up getting to Geonosis. And there's probably some occupying force on Geonosis just to make sure that, like, they're not building more battle droids. And I know that there's a second battle of Geonosis that, like, screws all of that up, but that's in a year or two. That can happen later. There's still this occupying force on Geonosis, And he manages to slip through, manages to get Slave One active, which of course everybody notices right away because nobody has been able to get anywhere near it. And I think at some point in the future, possibly after Order 66, and when Boba is working in tandem with either Fulcrum or the Rebels or the Rebel Mandalorians or whoever, because that's going to happen, he has to change the programming to allow the clones access as well. But by that point, the clones have aged enough that they're a different genetic profile or something. It's, you know, there's this, like, little moment years down the line when he's like, oh, I need to give my brothers access to this ship because he never did that. And, you know, the little tie-back moment. Yes. One of those. I'm not sure what exactly would, like, convince him to go back to Kamino after that, except, you know, again, the clones are like, no, you need to be with family. So maybe he gets caught by the Jedi. Maybe there's some Jedi on Geonosis. And I talked about that in the first one, so I'm gonna leave it there. And he ends up back on Kamino. So then other notes, Boba training. So you mentioned that he would have different training than the clones, and yes. And then that sparked an idea that, so there are different types of learning, and Boba, just by being older than all of the other clones, he would have much better muscle memory. He would have much better, much more time to learn the muscle memory skills. And so even though, so maybe he would really excel, like, or maybe not excel in comparison to the other clones. He would match the clones because they have all of the, like, strength enhancing and all of that. But his aim would be amazing. And, but all of the mental stuff would make him look like a defective clone because he just doesn't know it. He hasn't had time to learn it. And so for a long time, once he gets back to Kamino and he's running around there, he's barely starting to see the other clones as people, and the other clones are treating him like a defective clone, and the Kaminoans are definitely treating him like a defective clone. And so there's that weird, like, separation where Boba wants to be separate, he wants to be other, but there's no other community for him to be a part of, and the human nature of wanting to connect with people. And I think that's where 99 comes in, because like you said, they would definitely form a bond as being the outcasts. And Boba would have trouble with that originally because he's trying to rebel against the idea of being defective while still, like, while at the same time not wanting to be what they're claiming. Like, he doesn't want to be any of it. But 99 is such a good guy. He's just so caring and so, like, I think he has that level of emotional and mental, like, maturity that, like, he would only almost step into, like, an uncle role or a grandfather role that that the other Mandalorians used to fill, or maybe, like, because I don't think Boba would see him as looking like Jango and filling the father role, but 99 would definitely be able to get past his guard. And I don't have a scene in mind for that, except that kind of slow building friendship. The lightsabers. The lightsabers and Shaak Ti and trying to befriend Shaak Ti to get a look at her lightsabers. I like that, definitely. And I think that, so Boba, and he has Jango's helmet, and there's the lightsaber scarring on the helmet, and it's, once he does get a look at Shaak Ti's lightsabers, it's pretty easy to tell that's what it is, but there were both Jedi and Sith on on Geonosis, and so it's pretty easy for him to go, well, it could just as easily be Dooku. And at that point, the fact that he's sort of friends with Shaak Ti makes him want it to be Dooku. And I think, like, it's something that he decides rather than, like, he... It's more of an emotional choice than a logical choice that he turns his anger on Dooku because he has Shaak Ti as a friend, and because the entire culture of the clones is, we were created for the Jedi. Like, they are our generals, they are our people. And so it's kind of something that happens by osmosis, is that he does not want it to be the Jedi. But there's always that niggling little idea that it could have been a Jedi, because there were way more Jedi on Geonosis than, like, there was one Sith on Geonosis. And sure, he definitely had the opportunity, but you just don't know. And so I think that ties into later when the chips are discovered and Fives comes to Boba and they learn about the chips, and they realize really quickly that Boba, because they can compare Boba's template to Fives and Tup's template, that nope, this is not kosher. This is not going to be, like, chips are a thing. This isn't great. And I think Shaak Ti wants to play it safe. She, like, I think in canon, it's been a while since I watched those episodes, but in canon, she tries to take the evidence back to the council and the Senate and investigate, but that's going to be really slow. It's going to be tedious. It's going to be, and of course, you've got Palpatine breathing down everybody's necks going, of course you can bring that to Coruscant and we've got great labs here and all of that. So if she tries to bring Tup's body and the chips back to Coruscant, I think, like, Boba wouldn't be satisfied with that, because there's always been this niggling little idea that it's the... And, oh, sidebar. By this point, he wants to trust the Jedi, but he's also learned of enough Jedi that, like, he knows that there are plenty of Jedi out there who do not treat the clones like people, and there's guilt there, so much guilt, because that's how he was raised too. But at the same time, he, by that point, the end of the war, he identifies with the other clones so much that he's like, no, that this is wrong, and how would they view me? And a lot of confusion, because he's still, like, 13 at that age. So Shaak Ti tries to bring everything back to Coruscant, and Boba puts his foot down and is like, no, that's not good enough. How can I trust you if you're just going to spin wheels and be like it's words. He doesn't believe she's actually going to take it seriously and look into it. And even if she does, then maybe the rest of the council won't, and maybe definitely do not trust the Senate. So I think that's where it turns. And maybe, I want to say he and Fives, like, haul off in Slave One and start the rebellion a little bit early or something. Because I really want Fives to live. And, but then they can't leave entirely because, like, I know in canon, Kix learns about the chips and then gets captured by Dooku and has his whole frozen carbonite thing. And maybe because Fives and Boba leave, Kix just goes back to the 501st and never gets captured by Dooku. And then because the whole mess on Coruscant doesn't happen, then they never get back to Coruscant. And, like, Kix is the one who starts removing the chips in secret. And so there's a bunch more, like, not a huge amount, but the fact that, like, so maybe Kix is the one who, like, quietly removing chips and getting other healers, medics, to remove chips as well. And so there's a bunch more clones who don't have chips when Order 66 goes down. And I think, like, a bunch of them would still die, but at least some of them wouldn't. Like, if they know about the chips, and if they know that the chips are being removed, and then all of a sudden all of their brothers turn into zombies, essentially, then a bunch of them are going to fight back. A bunch of them are going to try to protect their Jedi. But a bunch are also going to go, nope, those are really bad odds, I'm out. Or, nope, these are really bad odds, I'm going to play along until I can get free of this. This has gone on long enough. It's really late at night. I will send this to you in the morning.